Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Our guest, Andy Williams Jr., presidential campaign candidate from Illinois, is going to be calling in as he is traveling. And I just got the message, and I need to look it over before I can go any further with this. 7330 is the number. What is that? Audience, we're going to have to, okay, hold on a second. Let's see if we have Andy Williams or Rita Williams on with us right now. If you will just be patient. I'm sorry for the confusion or the delay, but we'll get it together, hopefully.
Oh, I'm on.
Okay. Okay. Audience, we have Andy Williams on the show with us now. I'm going to let him introduce himself, and then he can take it from there. So, Andy, if you would, I believe Rita Williams, your vice presidential candidate, was also supposed to be coming on.
Yeah, she has said that it's trick-or-treat, so the Tuesday didn't work for her. She got little kids, so, you know, it's a family thing, you know, got to be in with the little kiddos.
Yes. You know something, responsible people usually have, and with children, I know there's so many things they want to do with their children, but they have, like we all do, obligations, and it would have been nice to know what was going on, because we are now about 10 minutes into the show, and we're just getting started. So Andy Williams, as all of you know, or most of you know, is the presidential campaign runner for We the People Party. For the 2024 presidential election. And so Andy is on with us now. He's traveling, and he can pretty much fill you in on what he's up to and what's going on these days. Andy, I want to thank you for coming on. You saved a lot of embarrassment. And if you can, just let the audience know a little bit about yourself and the campaign. And I'm going to put myself on mute so I don't disturb you.
Okay. Well, hey, listeners, how y'all doing? You can find some information about me at www.awj2024.com. I'm the 2024 presidential candidate for the We Are the People Party. And the We Are the People Party was birthed out of the situation that we the people, rights are not being represented in Congress. It's not being represented in politics. It's become so much about the political parties and who has the power that we the people are just the casualties. We're just like, hey, well, what about us? And so we've kind of, in a way, adopted to that energy. But that's where We Are the People Party launched from. And one of the things about our party is we don't just believe we have to be elected to provide a solution to the people. That solution can be provided now because the role of government is very limited. It's just supposed to protect the rights of the people and their property, correct when there's something that's been wrong, you know, some not necessarily wrong, just things that we, you know, got to keep things in check, you know, alignment, balances, and then direct the people to the resources. And over the last 40, 50 years, longer than that, but let's just say the last 40, 50 years, the government has forgotten their role. And so with that, we need a new form of government. And that new form of government is written right there in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. And it says the people have the right to alter, abolish, and form a new government whenever the formal governments have gotten, you know, as I like to say, too big for their britches. And that's what we've been looking at. That's what we've seen. There's so much pride going on with these elected officials because they're in a sense of we have immunity. they, you know, we swear an oath, but then we don't uphold that oath. And whenever an elected official, whether it be a judicial officer, elected official, or anything, a judge, the oath is to, they swear oath to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution protects the rights of the people. So we are the People Party is saying, and across the states where we're at right now, we're in about seven of them currently, we have the solution right now and we're implementing it. So if you got something that's going on, whether you need some counseling services, you got a claim you want to file, you need help getting out of prison, you want to understand what government is, how they operate, and maybe you want to run for office, well, we're the family that's going to bring that in. That's what we do at We Are the People Party. But tonight I want to talk about one of the platforms that we have on our campaign, which is government accountability. So our platform is based primarily on 5 points. Unalienable rights, the rights of the people. Those rights have been given to us by our Creator and nature's God. That's the rights of the people. So as long as you're not infringing on somebody else's rights, abusing somebody, hurting them or their property, really, people should be left alone. The second one is a constitutional republic. A constitutional republic is where the people are sovereign. You know, we have our own rights. We have the right to self-determination, the right to independence. And again, that still lies in with the unalienable rights, because if we have the right to self-determination, but then we're infringing about somebody else's right, you know, the government comes in, you know, the systems with the checks and balances, and then they correct that. Wait, you know, you have your rights, but you can't infringe upon somebody else's rights. The third one is government accountability, which I spoke about that with our We Are the People Party. And the government accountability is mostly focused on judicial and prosecutorial misconduct, as well as providing a remedy whenever there's been a wrong. So whenever government through corporate, religion, or, government, corporate, or religion, oppression, we the people have a right to a remedy whenever our rights have been infringed. But if you're going to the same people that's infringing upon your rights for a remedy, we often don't get that remedy because they're all part of the same system. So, you know, we believe that the government, corporate, or religious entities should be held accountable whenever they infringe upon the people's rights. Our fourth platform is abolish slavery in all forms. Although we think we're not enslaved, I'll share this point. If you go buy an automobile, a vehicle, and then you got to register that vehicle with the state. So in order to pay for that, you have to go work, let's say it's $400, you're making $40 an hour for those that will be fortunate. You have to work 10 hours. 10 hours to pay that $400. But what if you don't make, you know, $400 and you only make $10 an hour? So then you have to work 40 hours, a whole week's worth, to pay a registration fee. That is slavery. That is a form of slavery. That's a form of involuntary servitude. Also including the prisons, the taxes. And people say, well, if we don't pay taxes, then how would the country run? And that's business. So we have a corporate tax for the businesses. We have taxes when we go to the grocery store. But we the people should not be taxed, which goes back to our unalienable rights that we the people are sovereign. And the final platform is an economic empowerment plan. For the black people, I say it's resurrect Black Wall Street. For the natives, that economic plan goes back to how they used to barter and trade. And we the people, we can do that. You know, we have the ability. And then the Made in America jobs. We ship all of these jobs everywhere else, and now our economy is suffering because of inflation, because there's not a balance in the workflow. And one of the things that we can't ship over to other countries to do is the green-collar jobs. We can use natural resources, the stocks of the hemp plants, things like that, to provide us a Made in America jobs. So that's our 5-point platform right there in a nutshell. And you don't have to be elected to be able to do that. You know, we can do that right now. And that's the position that we have.
Okay. We have a caller, 912. Do you want to state your name, please?
Peace and blessings, man. This is Brother Hicks. I was just calling in to support. I hear my brother Andy.
Welcome aboard again, Brother Hess. Okay, do you have anything you want to ask Andy, or do you want anything to say anything, give some feedback?
No, ma'am. I'm just listening in for now.
Okay, and Andy, you mentioned quite a few things that we the people would be working on. I notice a lot of these people that are going to be running for the presidential campaign, a lot of them haven't announced their candidacy yet. I don't know if they're waiting for the last minute or waiting until maybe the beginning of the year to start announcing all of these things. But one of the things is, have you had a lot of people in the communities talking about issues that they would like to have you address?
So the biggest thing that the people are talking about is what they would call restorative justice. It's basically prison reform, but as my position holds, you can't reform slavery. You don't have the ability to reform slavery, and that's what prisons are, is the evolution of the plantation, and it just changed into these modern-day prisons. That is the main thing everybody is talking about. How do we reduce mass incarceration while increasing public safety? And so, as I said before, one of the platforms that we have is abolish slavery, but how we increase public safety is by the economic empowerment. So when you have jobs, which one of the reasons why people commit real crimes, and a real crime is a crime against people or their property, that's a real crime, is because there's a need that has not been met. So when we're able to bring forth these vocational schools and teach about job creation and self-sustainability, we know for a fact that we can reduce some of this violence that's happening in the community, along with, healing. But the main thing, like I said, Ms. Leona, is we want to get rid of this prison industrial complex while increasing public safety. That's the biggest thing that people are talking about that needs to happen out here.
That is a major problem. And, you know, one of the things is we've tried to encourage families and advocates and others to come together around the country to try to do something about it. And when you speak of We the People Party, it sounds so good. And it's something that we all do need to come together, united, to fight these issues. But there's a lot of people that haven't even done it, you know, in a few months, never mind a whole year. But I was going to say also, it's been on the radio and on the television about the fighting that's going on in the universities over this Ukraine and Gaza issue. I think that we're going to have a major problem in this country about it. But I wanted to ask you, if you were elected president, how would you handle or manage something like this? We have Asians, we have Blacks, Browns, Red, Beige. We have all of these people, the Jews and the Arabs. It's pretty much a racial thing in this country, and everybody's at one another's throats because of all this stuff going on overseas. It's overflowing in this country. The United States has a major problem with racism. And how would you address all of these? Because all of these people that are being oppressed because of their races or their religions, they can't seem to come together as a whole. I listen to the Asians talking about what's going on with them and how it shouldn't be. I listen to the Jews talking about what they're going through and it shouldn't be. And all of these, the Arabs and the African Americans and the Hispanics, how in the world do you manage something like this in a country? Because with what's going on right now, it's going to get much worse. Netanyahu from Israel doesn't seem to get the picture. He wants to continue to destroy everything in spite of the fact that they've been trying to tell him to cease fire for a while because too many people, it's becoming a human humanitarian crisis. So when this flows into the United States, and if you were elected, how would you handle something like this? How would you manage something that serious in this country? And we also have, I think, domestic terrorists just waiting for the right time. And these are issues that I think need to be addressed.
So I think, well, the first issue, Ms. Leona, is we need to take care of the domestic terrorism going over here in the United States first.
Exactly.
And too often, there's wars that are being fought, and they don't even know why the wars are being fought. And our generation is really saying, you know what, we want to get to the root cause of what's happening. And I believe that every war has stemmed from the Bible. We can look in the Bible and see the wars that were going on then, Israeli war. Nobody knows really why it's going on. We're just picking a side. And that is not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is find out what's going on by trying to talk to those two leaders. Because being the president means I'm a leader, and I know how to negotiate. I know how to negotiate. So we got to be able to get those two leaders together and find out what that is, what is needed. But that's not the priority. The priority is saying, how do we get rid of this domestic terrorism that's going on right here in these prison camps, in our neighborhoods, with these police shootings, with this judicial misconduct, with this black-on-black crime, white-on-white crime, white-on-black crime. That's terrorism right here, right now. How do we handle that? And that comes from an educational standpoint, teaching people who they are, accepting that we have differences, but we don't got to hate each other because we don't agree. And that's something that the people have the power. We have the power to do that. We do. As the president, it allows me to deal with foreigners, you know, diplomats and dignitaries, and invite them. Hey, listen, we invite y'all on over out here to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Let's see if we can't discuss this, you know. But at the end of the day, I do not believe we can get involved in somebody else's war when we ain't even stopped the war that's going on here in our own country for the last 150 to 200 years.
Exactly.
And that's really how it's got to be. The buck's got to stop here. We got to deal with home first. Can you imagine us not paying our own bills but going to pay somebody else's bills? Wait, we did that when we sent money to Ukraine. You see? So it's an issue at the top that's not recognizing that we the people are being neglected. That's what's happening. So we got to deal with home first.
Okay, so how would you handle something like this? Because even though everything you're saying makes sense, everything you're saying sounds good, but we have to remember now, it's not going to be a one-sided. Right now, we have the Republicans as well as the Democrats going at one another's throats. How do you handle something like that? If you were to get elected, how would you handle the opposition, which right now they're doing everything in their power to prevent anything positive to happen in this country? And also what's going on with Ukraine and Israel, they're going back and forth right now, but it seems like almost like both parties seem to be all for sending all this money over to Ukraine and Israel. So I understand what you're saying about the problem we're having with our own country, because we are in big trouble. But again, if you become president, when that time comes, you're going to be up against a lot of oppression. How would you handle something like this?
Well, one thing, you know, we always talk about the government shutdown. That means nobody's going over to Congress. Currently, it's 535 seats in Congress. We could do a government shutdown, no problem. And here's why. Because what I would do is get these grown little kids and bring in the Dale Carnegie course, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and teach them. Lisa Swallow from Crossing Party Lines, a good friend of mine, she teaches about this stuff, how to have discussions with politics without hating each other. Because, see, I've been surrounding myself with experts. But the second thing, which is our primary thing, is our campaign is running on a new government. That's my slogan, a new government. So if the 535 can't get their stuff together, we can move on and do what we got to do with we the people. So when Congress is shut down, pick 535 people across the states to come in and represent the people, because that's the power of the president. The power of the president can have any meeting he wants to. It don't have to be with these the divisive people. We're bringing in solution-oriented people. And if we the people don't know that we don't necessarily have to depend on an elected official to help us with our rights, then that's what we're here to do, to teach them. And currently I got, what, about 400-some days, a whole another year, that we could teach the people about their rights, about their unalienable rights, about the role of government. See, we don't know, so the people need to be taught that we don't need to elect somebody that doesn't represent the people. And I think Mike Johnson, I think that's his name, just became the Speaker of the House for the Republicans. If anybody saw that video, that's a room full of Caucasian people. How? Tell me how can a man in a suit, primarily men in a suit, represent us in the barrio, us in the ghetto, us of the people that's been raped, us of the people that's been to prison? How would you even represent me? You don't have experience with that. So we need to bring in a generation that has experience. And now we're talking about, here we got the hip-hop, here we got the immigration people, the human rights organizations, the NAACP, and I say it loosely because what the NAACP been advocating for, they don't need to keep advocating for that anymore. The ACLU is an example, I'm saying, because you will never hear the ACLU talking about, we're going to go advocate for somebody by marching. The ACLU will take your butt up in the courtroom super quick. And that's the type of role we need to do as the people, to learn about our rights. So whenever the government infringes upon our rights, we the people are entitled to a remedy, and we should go get that. And that has to be taught. We're saying that, you know, right now the Republicans have a whole plan called Project 25, 920-something pages. I personally think it's a beautiful plan. The only thing I disagree with the plan is they want to force this. They want to create a Christian nation. You can't create a Christian nation through force. That's not how you do it. It's by a spiritual change. And we can't change the hearts of people, but we can treat people the way we want to be treated, and that can change their hearts. That's what it can do. And the story I like to say is when Jesus was on the cross, and it was a thief on the cross, and he asked Christ, could you forgive me? Could you do this? And the other guy on next to him was like, crucify him. And what Jesus, the story goes behind it, a saved soul and a wasted life. So we could waste our life away, but it comes to that point where we recognize we've been doing something wrong and we ask for forgiveness, and now we got this freedom. That's what we can do as the people, I'm saying, through love, through repentance. We need to call a national revival to repentance. That's what we can do.
You know, what we have in this country right now is we have a lot of people, when somebody, in law enforcement, does something to save somebody, or they do something, save a dog or whatever, they get all this credit, they get praised and glorified. People don't give the credit to the higher power anymore. A Halloween, this is inviting evil into the homes. Salem, Massachusetts was a town in Massachusetts where they killed all these women, burned them alive, hung them, everything, because they called them witches. Back then, they didn't have the technology they have today. They didn't have enough knowledge to know that these people that they were killing were human beings. And every year for Halloween, this becomes a major attraction. People come from all over the country to go to this state, to go to this area where they killed all of these women viciously. We have a death penalty in this country where they think to kill somebody, to execute somebody that has killed somebody, is the right answer, only to find out months or years later, they find out the people or the person was wrongfully convicted. No one's held accountable. We have a handful of politicians, Republicans, a handful, that are controlling their whole party of the Republicans and the Democrats. There's five major conservative, extreme conservative people that are making the big decisions that they have made for all of this disaster in this country. So if they cannot get rid of these 5 or 6 or 7 people, what's going to happen when you or anyone else gets elected? Because these people, you can't just say you're out. There's got to be votes. And these immature, rich little brats in government are too afraid to stand up like men and women and do the right thing. So they allow this handful of Republican conservatives to control the country. That's what they're doing, and they're proud of it. So how do you think we could resolve this issue?
So it's personal in the sense that we outnumber them, and what has happened is we've allowed a few group of people to become giants, where we're depending on what they do to determine what we do, and they don't have the power we the people do. So we the people take the power back by what we do and how we do. So let me say, for example, if we the people said we're not paying our mortgages in Mississippi no more, the whole state of Mississippi, the whole area, we're not paying it, what's going to happen? What would happen? They could not evict everybody. They couldn't do that. What they would have to do is come to some a form of agreement. If we the people said we're not sending our kids to your schools no more and we're going to do homeschooling, we could shut it down. If we the people said we're going to take our fiat money out of your banks and we're going to work with it within ourselves, we the people have the power because we outnumber. It's 300 million of us and 535 in government or 585. We outnumber them. And so that's the things that... Hey, he's doing too much. That's the stuff that we the people have the power to do, and because we have not been exercising our power, we don't know the power that we have. We don't know the power we have. We control every single thing. We are what is making this world go round is the people. So when the people decide we're fed up, like the Constitution says, the preamble, when we the people are fed up, we have the right to alter, abolish, and form a new form of government. And that's what we're doing today. That's what we're doing today. We're taking the focus off the minority, and now we're going to shine the spotlight on the majority, so now the majority recognizes the power that we have.
Okay.
We got to take our power back. We have to take our power back, and we don't know we've had that power because we've been indoctrinated through this educational system. We've been brainwashed through this religious system, and it's time to set the captives free. And the first freedom has to be with the mindset, and you can't vote away that. That's something that has to be taught. That has to be taught, and you got the people would have to have the information to be taught that. And the biggest thing that people need to do is know about their unalienable rights that's given to them by nature's God and a creator. And that's not something that can be elected. When we elect somebody in Congress or to be a president, they represent the people, not the parties. They can be part of a party, but they got to represent the people. And if we want to know what that looks like, go to Jimmy Carter's campaign. He represented the people. That's why he wasn't popular. He didn't care about his party disagreeing with him. He had morals, values, ethical, you know, that's something that says a lot. And we have not seen that since Jimmy Carter. We've not. I was born in 72. I watched his documentaries and read about him. I've yet to see somebody walk up out of Washington and serve the people with Habitat for Humanity. I've yet to see that. He did not go get some big fancy house. He got the same farmhouse in Georgia. His people are solid. When I wrote him a letter the first time I was running for campaign, they wrote me back. That's what makes it personal. That's a personal experience. And that is what we have to do. And those that profess to love God, they need to repent. Because that is all these jokers. There's called the fraternity. It's a documentary that shows what is going on in Congress with all these religious people. They are not representing the kingdom of God. They are representing their own kingdom. And the very Messiah, Yahshua Christ, said, my kingdom is not of this world. We ain't trying to be into that system over there. We're creating a new government, which is a right that's guaranteed by the Constitution. And if this current form of government ain't doing what they need to do, it's time that a new generation arises, and that's what we're representing now. That's what we are representing. We the people. We're the Joshua generation. We're honoring the Moses generation. But we're saying to those in Congress and in Washington, time is up. It's over with. You got
to
go.
I'd like to ask you another question about the Constitution. We're living under a Constitution that was written thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. And what are your thoughts on, because I know change happens all the time, but throughout these hundreds of years, so much has changed. Do you think we should be still going under the original Constitution that was written in the days of George Washington? Or do you think there should be a revamp?
I believe that Constitution, in its face, specifically with the Bill of Rights, is accurate. The only thing that I say that needs to be changed in the Constitution when it says something about the men, you know, the men, it should be say we the people, but all people. It just should say that instead of, because there's a part in it that says men. But the reason why I believe we don't feel the Constitution is valid, because whenever the government infringes upon our rights, they have not been held accountable. So we don't believe that document is valid. But it is valid if we started holding people accountable when they violate our rights. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Constitution, specifically the first 10 Bill of Rights, is aligned with the scriptures. They should align with each other. And they do, because both of them protect the rights of the people. Both of them do. And that's why I say, we have to become the government, and that is not the only way to do it, because my faith tells me the people have been crying out to God for so long, and God is saying, I've raised up a whole generation now. All we got to do is look back through the scriptures. Every single time, there was somebody that rose up in a generation that did something, and that time has come again. It is now. It is now. The stuff is so real, I can't even... It's not even something like you can really campaign on. It's like, here's the truth. The captives are being set free. People being locked up 30, 40 years, found out they was innocent? That's legalized slavery. This is what's happening. This is a nation. People going to work for 50 years, and then they can't afford their taxes on their house because the taxes go up? That's slavery. Who did America or anybody buy the land from? They didn't. They took the land. That's what the Doctrine of Discovery, when they came and took the land from the natives. So we want the land back so that we can go back to our natural habitat. And if we're not talking about what is nature, natural rights, unalienable rights, this whole thing is a sham. And I'm not coming into this race with some fake promises about what I'm going to do. I'm coming in it with the truth. And the truth is what's going to set people free. The truth. That brother Hester's on the phone in jail locked up right now, admitted to what he did. But if you hear why he did it, that should be restorative justice, and that brother should have never got locked up. And the reason why he should have never got locked up, because it's another story where somebody kidnapped this boy's kid, and when he saw him, and they arrested the guy, and when they saw him, when the guy's kid who got molested saw the dude who did it in the airport, he shot him and killed him. And that man got off with a suspended sentence. Well, that's the same thing that happened with Brother Hess' case. Somebody did something to his family, and he shot and killed him, which he rightfully should have done, because the role of government should protect the people and their property. And when the role of government fails to do that, we the people have the right to self-defense. We the people have the right. That's our right. We're not calling 911, you know what I'm saying, when somebody's sitting up in the house with my damn wife tied up, talking about I got to call 911. Hell no, I'm going to call Smith & Wesson. That's what I'm going to call, because that's the right of the people. You can't take away my rights because you label me a felon. That's so ridiculous. And that's why it has to have a generation that rises up, that's teaching the people about their rights, honoring the generation that went before us, which is you, Miss Leona, and y'all peoples, because we honor and respect everything that y'all have done. The hope that y'all marched for, we're it. The education y'all fought for, we have it. Now what we got to do is become that and implement that. And that is why it's taken a generation of us. a generation of us that's saying we are fed up. There's no way this prison system should be this way. There's no way. But it's modeled after slavery, and every for the last 40, 50 years, all we do is have some people running for office, giving us some service, but no doggone actual proof. And we keep falling for the old banana in the tailpipe. Not this time. We ain't doing it this time because we fed up. If anybody cared about what they quote-unquote criminal justice reform, they would be reaching out to the prisons. I got people across the states in prison, Maine, California, Georgia, Texas, South Carolina. This is the people that is advising me. You can't talk about abolishing slavery from a prison standpoint and you not reaching out to those that are enslaved that got more experience. I only did 2.5 years locked up. I got brothers that did 20, 30, 40 years. Them the ones we need to be talking to. Not some old Andy that's a face of the movement. No, I get the information for those that have been helped. When we talk about restorative justice, you got to discuss with somebody that's been, their family's been abused or a woman or a man has been raped and they forgave their accuser. That's what restorative justice looks like. You got to have the real live stories that can bring that to the table. That's what we need. Not somebody giving us a promise that if you elect me, this is what I'm going to do. You don't have the power to do that because you didn't create me. You're part of a system that created slavery, and we're done with that. Our generation is done with that. I'll be doggone if my grandbabies grow up in a world like this. Not with Pawpaw alive. And we're going to do it, as Malcolm X said, with Elhaj Malik, formerly known as Malcolm X. We're going to do this by any means necessary. We're going to follow the principle of the 1960s with Lyndon B. Johnson with the Four Freedoms when he wrote the Kerner Report. We never implemented that. The 60s had a whole platform, you know, eradicating poverty. We never implemented that because we're always going to do something new, something new, something new. And right now, we need to be eradicating poverty in the United States of America, not no damn Ukraine. I feel for Ukraine. I feel for Israel. I get it. But that ain't our war. That's not our war. Our war is right here in the United States of America. This land is my land. This land is your land. That ain't accurate. Not the way you foreclosing on all these houses every day. This seems like somebody else is trying to take our land. And we want our land back. The Aboriginals want their land back. That's what we want. We want our restitution. That's what we want. And you, when you elect a brother like Andy, he don't change. I was on a podcast Friday, and he said, you sued the government. Well, if you sue the government before you get elected, what you think going to happen when you get elected? That's right. I'm going to use the Department of Justice. That's what I'm going to do. The DOJ was originally created to protect the Negroes and their descendants. The DOJ is violating the descendants now, bringing charges against people when there ain't no victims. Don't get me hyped up, Miss Leon. I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad that I want you to talk about it because this is why we live in a country where nobody talks about it. Everybody talks to one another and behind others' back, but they don't come right out forward and talk about it. You know, a lot of people, if they're that concerned about what's going on in the world, they'd be calling in right now to either criticize you or to agree with you. You know, and what we have is absolutely nothing because we live in a country that is more dysfunctional than any country in the world. And all these fights that
Correct.
Are going on, all these fights that are going on in other countries have been going on for years. As you mentioned, it's been all the way back to biblical times. And I'm surprised, as I say, the Israelites, which God had a problem with because they were always disobedient to him. And this whole thing with Israel and Ukraine and Russia and Gaza and what's happening. Instead of our president, our leader in this country, trying to put his own country back together, they're out there instigating to make things a matter of worse, and it's going to boil down to nuclear weapons and a third world war. I strongly believe that.
Yeah.
But, you know, these
we've been in a third world war. We've been in a war. It's people that come straight up out the womb and are instantly into war. It's a war on poverty. It's a war in our neighborhood. It's a spiritual war. Like, we've been in a war. We've been in a war.
It's coming.
No, we've been in the war. This is the real war. I'm telling you. We just don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We think we're looking for the flesh and blood war, but I'm telling you, we've been in a war.
The sad thing about it, though, is that the people, just like I was saying, they talk about all the evil that's going on in this world, but yet they will spend all kinds of money going to see violent movies, going to see all kinds of evil, satanic movies. We have Halloween. Parents taking their children out trick-or-treating is one thing, but taking their children out, dressing them up in all kind of evil costumes and, you know, to me, what's going on in this country and around the world are being brought on by the people themselves. So when you talk about the Bible, you talk about the flood. How did the flood start? Why did it start? Because the same thing was going on back then that's going on today. The same
right,
thing.
But I want to say this, Miss Leona. I'm not opposed to what people do with their children in their own neighborhood, because them dressing them up and they don't know why they're doing it. So before I can go saying, hey, what y'all doing is wrong, we would have to teach the people about that and then allow them to make a choice. And I think sometimes what we do is we condemn people without teaching them. So I can't be like, hey, what you're doing is wrong, and then not explain the story. No, let me explain the story, and then let me see if you want to know. Because if the parents knew what they were getting involved in, then maybe they can make another decision, which is when I say we're born into this war. Don't nobody know the history about Halloween? That, who teaches that? Well, nobody shares that. They just, oh, what you're doing is wrong, is evil, and then we want to pick it. No, we got to teach the people through love.
The thing is, before the end of the night, we're going to hear on the news, we're going to be hearing on the news about all this stuff that happened during Halloween. There's going to be beatings, shootings.
Stop listening to the news.
And you're going to hear a lot about these things at the end of the night. Because every time something like this goes on, there's always violence that follows. And that's the sad thing about it. How do you turn something around when everybody enjoys? In all of these violent movies that these producers are making, they're getting all of these off the blood, sweat, and tears of people that have actually went through it, people that have done the crime, people that have been victims of the crime, and people that are incarcerated because they were victims before becoming offenders. So there's a lot of things
right,
that are going
on. And see, one of the things I think is when people are running for office, they're not being honest. There isn't no one man that has all that power. The president doesn't have the power to fix that. He doesn't. He's got certain enumerated powers that are guaranteed by the Constitution. There's a job description behind that that brings the checks and balances. And what the president's number one role is to represent the people. So, yes, he's coming up with solutions. That's why he has a cabinet. That's why there's all these different branches of government that assist the president with that. And if we take one iota and stop looking at those that are elected as a solution and look into our communities right now, a lot of the solutions already exist. They already do. You want to eradicate poverty? There's people every day. It's a brother, Glenn Martin. He says, the people closest to the problem are closest to the solution, but farthest away from the resources. Man, that's so beautiful. Glenn was locked up. Glenn started, I think he's a co-founder of something that Just Leadership, but he got a real estate business. And to hear his testimony from being locked up, how he turned that around. And when he says, hey, I got this course, I could teach you how to do it, one-on-one, $500, $750. People ain't lining up for that, but they'll line up and go buy them a brand-new iPhone for $800, $1,500. Come on. Here's a brother that's teaching you what he did, how he did it. And that's how I say that we the people have the power to bring forth the solutions. We do. But we're looking at the government to provide the solution instead of looking at within us. And for those that profess to believe in God, it says, greater is he that is in me. All power has been given unto you. I've given you dominion over the land, not dominion over people. He never gave no people have dominion over other people. Yes, there's an accountability, but not where you murdering people. No. So we have to hold government accountable. That's what we have to do. These police shootings would 100% be reduced 60 or 70% if you just read somebody Miranda rights when they was under arrest, because that's what you're supposed to do. You have the right to remain silent. There is no right, because you are giving them the verdict, the sentence, the execution, all in one time. That's what we have to do. And when we start seeing more of elected representatives who we don't put our trust in no more, but we don't have another solution. And I'm saying We Are the People Party, we're going to have our We Are the People Peace Patrols. Brother Tyrone Muhammad, Chicago, Illinois, ECCCS, got his own community servant vehicles. He shows up with his team. That's a model. Where did that model come from? The 60s, the Black Panther Party, when they were patrolling their own neighborhoods. What about the Guardian Angels? You know, the Green Berets, not the Guardian Angels. Let me just stick there. What about them that was on the subways and all that? That was the people with exercising their power, and we can bring that back. We can bring it back. We just need somebody with that vision. You know, without a vision, the people perish. I have a vision for America. In fact, I got a vision for the world, and that's to let that kingdom in heaven come to earth. That's the king. That's the vision I have, and that's what God created me to have that, to not have fear, to not look to the government, but to look to God. And every time I look to God, he says, what do you think I created you for, son? You created me to do it? He said, that's right. Trust my anointing when you do it, though. Go up, you look at that Bible. It's a history book full of slaying Goliaths. Every time you see them brothers and sisters in there, they doing something. And we acting like that book is so ancient. No, that's a living word, because it's still happening today. Everything in that Bible we can talk about today, wars, rumors of wars, men loving men, women loving women, that's your freedom of choice. But we the Joshua generation, as for me and my house, we do it this way. What you do in your house is your business, as long as it don't infringe upon my rights in my house. And that's how we start taking our power back. And you can't elect somebody to do that. However, you can elect somebody that represents that. That's what you got to do. And we got to be – I can't tell my party no, because my party is the people. So when they're looking to Andy for solutions, I show them where the solution is at, but I'm not going to do it for them. You teach them how to do it, because we got a hopeless generation right now that's depending on the government to save them, their mama to save them, their daddy to save them, you know, the technology to save them. Come on, man. We got to come on back to some common sense stuff.
As it says in the Bible, I know you know this scripture too. It says, many are called, but few are chosen. So you may be called to do what you're doing right now. I am sure that you're being called to do this. But the eyes, as they say in the Bible as well, God has blinded the eyes of many. He has been feeding them milk because they are too immature or too ignorant to understand. So many are called, but few are chosen. And what we have right now is we have the few that are chosen trying to do what you're doing. And I'm hoping that people will open their eyes, God will open the eyes of the blind so that they will see the truth and they will see what you're saying and join with you these positive changes.
It's a lot of
people that's already here that sees this, because I've learned from the living people right now. I didn't just wake up one day and have this. It didn't just come. I did a lot of study, and the Holy Spirit was my teacher. And it's so many people that are out here that are conscious, that understand this, that comprehend this. What's happening is it's not being implemented. It's being implemented, but it's not being taught in the masses. And that's what Andy is bringing. He's bringing that teacher to the masses, like, yo, this is what we got, y'all. This is what we got. And I'm confident that that's what we're going to do. I don't have no choice. I don't. We cannot afford to go through this again. Ms. Leon, I can't afford to allow you to be retired and then you can't pay your taxes or something on your property. No, we got to look out for our elders. And respectfully saying, I'm not saying you old, Ms. Leon. I'm saying our elders.
That's fine. I have years and years of wisdom. Believe me. Trials and tribulations. And this is another thing I was going to say. There's so many people in this world, in this country, who haven't been through a lot of what others have been through. So they're not going to be agreeing with you on a lot of these issues that you're talking about, because they've never been there or had to do it. So,
correct.
And we don't have the poor, the middle class and the rich. We're beginning to get more and more. We're beginning to get the poorer and the rich. The middle class is slowly dwindling away, so we're not hearing about the middle class much anymore. But we have a caller, 440. You want to state your name, please?
Hi, Leona. It's Angie. I just wanted to say that I just I appreciate what Andy's trying to do and what he stands for, trying to make some big changes. I think he's got great, great ideas of how to get there.
You know, I'll tell you, Angie, I give anybody credit. I give Andy credit for what he's doing because people in this country probably would be laughing and saying, oh, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But you know, sometimes it's the people, God used the people that had the least or were the least. And as I mentioned one time about a lawyer, and I said they should get somebody in the homeless shelter to run for the presidency. There was a lawyer that was in the homeless shelter, and he was an alcoholic. He had been sober for 12 years, and so he was allowed to make a speech at the AA meeting or NA meeting. And he talked about how because he became an alcoholic, he lost his practice, he lost his family, everybody turned against him. He was nothing. And he said his best friend tried to tell him he had an alcohol problem and he needed help. So he stopped associating with his friend. And one night he was at a bar and he got so drunk that when he got ready to leave, he opened the wrong door. Instead of going out of the bar, he went down into the boiler room and came inches from a boiling boiler room, the boiler, up hitting his head. And that's when he realized he had to get help. So sometimes when members of society look at somebody that's not at their same level, they look down upon these people. What they don't realize is these people, there are many of them that are down at the bottom that at one time were right where they are.
Absolutely,
we look at,
and they're going to be rising up. It takes you, if you got to walk the walk to be able, you can't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk.
Exactly.
Just like, not as seriously, but like when in medical, if you're a nurse's aide, you go to school to become a nurse. The best nurses were aides before. You know, the best RNs were LPNs before. You have to have the experience or at least an understanding of what it took and what it takes to continue to rise up. And
you know,
what you just
said is true. What happens is the doctors put it all on the RNs. The RNs put it all on the LPNs. The LPNs and the RNs put it on the CNAs. The CNAs put it on the home health aides. The home health aides put it on the homemaker sometimes. But what happens is a lot of these people have these titles, but what they do is they don't have that knowledge to use their titles and their degrees for what they're supposed to do. So they pass it on down to, if you go to a doctor, your doctor's going to have you seeing the nurse practitioner. So no one ever really does the job that they're supposed to do.
And so with Andy, though, what I got from the last time that you were talking, Andy, was you may not have all the answers, but you know people who specialize, who you're willing to work with and collaborate with, and that's important.
Exactly. Exactly. It's having the knowledge. Having the knowledge to know who to go to or when to go or what to do when you can't do it yourself.
Yeah.
I think his idea of we the people is awesome. If we the people are all going to unite to become we the people, because we the people are the government.
You got that right, Ms. Leona, and it's not... And it sounded like you want to be on the national board for We Are the People. It just, I felt like that's what you said you wanted to do.
I'll tell you one thing. If I was on the national board, it would be the national board for the Most High, not for these clowns in this world, because that's what they are. They're clowns.
We're talking about We Are the People, though. We ain't talking about them. We lead them clowns in the circus. We ain't going to the circus. We going to the tabernacle. Yes, we are. We go into
Jerusalem. I think that's what's happened. That's what's happened in this country, is that it's gone to the dogs because everybody forgot there was a higher power. You know, everybody gives everybody credit. They pat themselves on the back. They pat their peers on the back. You know, everybody wants to give everybody credit. Everybody wants to put that credit in the wrong place. Because if we maybe thank God for every little thing we have, you know, there's so many people suffering in this world. I mean, I'm going through a lot myself. But I find time in the morning and in the evening to thank God for the good things that he's given us. He's given us the life. He's given us air to breathe. He's given us light when we are in our darkest moments. He gives us food and drink, both spiritual and physical. He opens the doors of opportunities for us when we have no other way out. He gives us, some of his angels are amongst us. We don't even know it. He has loyal angels. He has loyal prophets, loyal disciples out there. God gives us shelter. He gives us a roof over our head. He gives us clothes on our back. He gives us a bed to lay to rest on and a pillow to lay our head on. See, a lot of people don't have that. But for us that do, we need to show more appreciation and we need to share more with them. We need to share with them what God has given us. So no matter how bad things are, we're always going to find some little thing that God has given us. And people judge. You know, I hear so many people complaining of family members, complaining about family members, advocates complaining about advocates. You know, I say family in the book of Micah, chapters 7, verses 5 to 7, it says, don't put your trust in friends and family. Put your trust in God. The thing is, advocates, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to make mistakes. There's always something we're going to do that's not going to be agreeable with others. But look at the good things that we're doing. Don't look at the bad. Don't look at the messed up ones, because we're always on a learning basis. And Andy, what you're talking about, we the people, it's a way for people to get educated, because so many people are not able to make up their own minds. They're listening to their peers. They're listening to these politicians that, as you say, will promise you the world until they get their votes and they're in. And then you don't hear anything from them. People.
And it's been going on for the last 50 years. And that's why I'm saying we ain't falling for the banana in the tailpipe no more. No, we not. See, what we got to do is background checks on those that are running. That's what we got to do. And if the person that's running is promising that they're going to do something, we got to say, where's your body of works at? Where's your body of works? Show me. Where's your resume that you are qualified to do what you do that you say you're doing?
They will find your background. They will find your they will, in the middle of a campaign, you see it every year or every 4 years. They bring out the
and,
most.
And that's what I want. I want all of that to come out, so much so we putting our own documentary together. I'm going to be happy to tell y'all. I'm going to tell y'all who I am. Then that way you like, well, we want somebody honest that's been through something. And this is what I'm going to say. I've been arrested for domestic violence, okay? Am I going to sit there and say I'm proud of it? I didn't go to jail or nothing. I mean, I went to jail because I got arrested. But here's how I know about the Men Project. Here's how I know about the state's attorney's project that help people, men and women, that are charged with domestic violence. When I went to the class, I went voluntarily. I didn't go because they forced me. I went voluntarily. Because the truth is, we all face some kind of trauma, and we always waiting for somebody to fix it for us, not me. I've been waiting 49 years for this election. I went through hell and hot water to be able to have the solutions through life experience. I'm not going to go talking to you about something that I don't have experience with. I got to call my expert. If it's something else, I got to call somebody that's been through that than it is for me. See, because that's my honesty. That's me saying, I don't have the answer today, but I promise you somebody from our staff, somebody from our family will get back to you, because we are the People Party as a family. That's who we are. We're a family. So somebody going to get back with you, because we know the people that's around us. We know our network. When somebody's going through something in the family, we ain't talking about them. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to help them. And helping them ain't saying, I'm going to do it for you. Helping them is saying, I'm going to direct you to the resource That's what that is. Because we've as parents love our children so much, we've enabled them in some areas. I'm guilty. Yes. I know it. So I'm saying we got to do things a little different. And if you know something that I don't know, let me hear what you're saying first before I pass the judgment. Let me stop judging people just based on their exterior appearance. And that's why I give it up to them conservative mm-hmm. Republicans that wrote that Project 2025 blueprint. Because it's a blueprint. It's just missing the spirituality. It's missing to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. But in principle, it is solid. It is solid. The Heritage Foundation, a conservative Republican, conservatives, you read what they're saying. It is legit. But for me, the scriptures say, listen to what they say, just don't do what they do. And that's for so many. Everybody want to preach and teach. Everybody want to preach, but don't nobody want to teach because they don't know how to teach, or if they do know how to teach, they still have some type of fear. And it ain't everybody, because I can tell you right now, Tony Evans, out of the church in Texas, Dallas, Texas, the Urban Alternative, that dude is he practices what he preaches. He's a real teacher. Mike Murdoch teaches about wisdom, and there's so many others. But we focus on what we don't like about them. I'm focusing on what I do like about them. And that's what we have to do. You know, this is so much. And at the, you know, I'm going to close with this. I went into the paint store today to get some paint. And the lady said, and it's like 6:30 in the morning. She said, I love when you come in here, Andy. Handy Andy, knew me, knew my number for the discount and everything. I said, why? She said, because you always come in here with good energy, smiling. And I say, every morning I get up, I got something to be thankful for. Every morning. And today, I woke up because I finalized my story. It's called Freedom. That's what my message is, Freedom. And it's about my journey to freedom. That's what it is. And all of those that went before me, you know, Sister Angie on the phone, help me with some freedom. Brother Hess on the phone, help me with some freedom. Frederick Douglass on the phone, help me with, he ain't on the phone in natural, but the spirit, help me. Miss Leona, look at all the numbers you gave me, the connections, and Kimberly, and I got you through Angie. See, that's freedom. And that's one of the things we the people have the power is to have relationships with one another. If the government ain't working for you, well, we should become the government. And in the meantime, in between time, we're going to look out for each other. We're going to help the homeless and the houseless and the hopeless. We're going to do that. We're going to give the stinky man that we call a bum a high five if you don't want to give him a hug. We'll sit down with him and listen to his story and see if we know some resources to help him or his family. You know that family that's living in the van is already struggling. When you see him at the gas station putting in $4 and you just got paid or a bonus and you throw an extra 20 on there. We could do that. You ain't got to pass no legislation for that. You can't legislate right. No love. No, we got to get past that. We got to stop going to church on Saturday and Sunday and thinking we done did our job. Hell no. This is a Monday through Sunday thing.
I'd like to ask another question. We have a serious problem with mental illnesses in this country. I mean, I'm not just talking about the ones that we hear about. I'm talking about the ones that don't realize they have mental health problems, even in our government. So we have a problem with mental health, and we also, Joe from Montana was on the show yesterday. He came on, he was one of the callers that came on, and he talked about the psychologists and psychiatrists that don't really know their jobs. And I think about the mass shooting in Maine with that individual that killed those 20 people and injured 60 or whatever it was. You know, I feel bad when somebody has mental illnesses issues and they do something like that. And the media and everybody is feeling bad for the families of the victims, which I do too. But I also say this person was a victim. His family actually called in and talked to the police about their loved one, you know, having the problem. But this man was, they knew he had a psychological problem, a mental problem, and they put him in the psych hospital, And he was released 2 weeks after he went in. So whose fault is, I mean, who does it all fall back on? You can't get help for people that are mentally ill because either they won't take the person or the people unless they do something wrong. Yet when they do something wrong, they get thrown into prison or they end up committing suicide or getting killed by the police, homicide. But there's no, and the prisons are maxed out because of mass incarceration, because of mentally ill and addicted people. So who addresses that? I mean, how would you address something like that? How would you address mass incarceration and mental illnesses and addictions?
So I'm glad you asked that question because I was put into the mental health center for 6 months. It was a retaliation. Pissed the judge off. They said I was unfit to stand trial. Now, what if that judge was held accountable for doing that and lost his job? And then the rest of the judges would know, damn, we can't do that. Now, let's go over there to Oxford. Oxford, where is that at? Ethan Crembley or somebody. It's Oxford. You know the mom and dad that they charged, maybe it's in Michigan. The mom and dad they charged because the son shot and killed four people in the school.
Oh, yeah. The mother made a comment to the son.
Right.
I think I know.
One of our family members, Heidi, that's out of Massachusetts, she don't have no children. I don't believe she does. But she's took this case on as her own, and she shared it with me. So they charged the parents. Part about that, we say, what will we do? Well, the kid, parents didn't know how to help him. And that's the story, but they're being charged right now. So that's his own scenario. But the kid was drawing in school, somebody please help me, guns, blood, all this stuff on the paper, and the school didn't do nothing. In fact, I read it today because Heidi, this is my girl, she sends me this article. It's a 600-page report that they paid to find out the liability. Now, what me and Heidi is working on is the thing about gun violence because my friend in Aurora, Illinois, Gary, was a mass shooter. He led a revolt at Henry Pratt, and he shot and killed five people. I got part of his employee file, so I understand there was some systemic oppression, and he was trying to go to file a claim with the ECOA. Equal Credit Opportunity. The EEOC. But he couldn't get off work because they was messing with his money. So all these things are stacked on him, and he snapped, okay? But let's go back to Ethan. So what me and Heidi is saying is the whole town is suffering. The whole town is not responsible directly, but indirectly they are. Because if we're going to judge the family, then don't we know it takes a village? We know that there was stuff going on with the family over there before because the neighborhoods was talking. So why didn't the neighbors intervene and send the social worker or the therapist or the pastor or whoever the hell else you got to go through when you need help? Because, see, what we doing with our We Are the People Party, what we're going to do with our administration is we're going to say, get the help you need now if you think you need it. And if you can't afford it, don't worry about it. Send the bill to the Treasury Department, and we'll take care of it. Because I would rather you get the help you need now than our whole community suffers because you snapped. A lot of times we can't afford to get the $60, $70, $80 an hour therapist that's the expert. We can't afford that. And then when we go talk to our family about it, because some of us got some sense, then we talk about them and spread the business out everywhere. Who's responsible for that? We are. Because if we all took responsibility and accountability, we all would figure out we can do better as people.
I'd like to answer that. I'm going to tell you right now. 30 years ago, I had a loved one in his last year of college that was going through severe depression. I was a social worker working for the Cape and Islands Department of Social Services. I begged my oldest brother, who is now deceased, he died of the coronavirus a couple of years ago. I begged him to talk to his nephew. A lot of my colleagues at DSS, I had talked to them. I was afraid I was going to go home and find out that he had committed suicide. I begged everyone, and I was going to, because he was 21 years of age at the time, didn't realize how serious it was. I was going to go to the court and have him court ordered into counseling, some kind of treatment facility for severe depression. But then I read an article about this woman. I remember her name now. She was Wampanoag Indian. She was from Mashpee, had gone to court to get help for her son who was addicted to drugs. And instead of getting help, they put him in jail. So I never tried to get the help through the courts. And everything came out. He went into severe depression because of an in-law in my own family that violated him. He tried everything to do the right thing, and he was so depressed. And I told my colleagues I was afraid I was going to go home and find he had committed suicide. Unfortunately, it turned out to be homicide, one fatal shot. He had never been to this day, was never involved previously with the law, has never to this day done drugs or alcohol. He grew up without siblings. He grew up without his father. And still, he started working at the age of 13, went to prep school up in Maine where that shooting just recently took place. Went to North Bridgeton Academy for a year prep, came back and did 4 years of college. In his last year of college, he fell behind one subject from graduating. He disclosed to somebody about what happened to him, only to find out that person was lying to him, deceiving and cheating on him too. So when it comes to gun control, I am an avid opposer of weapons. But if they're going to have weapons, do the psychological evaluations. And maybe they will pick up on somebody's psychological illness at the time. Do the psychological and the substance abuse, because there's a lot of people, even in law enforcement, that have these problems. And if they're going to carry weapons, then they need to be psychologically evaluated. Because it only takes one shot, one fatal wound to destroy somebody's life, an innocent person and another innocent person in prison. And that's why I did that poem I did, when you lose a loved one, whether to death or to life in prison. That's all I wanted to say. Because all of these people in politics out there that want their weapons, all of these big shots that want to carry a gun like a cowboy, that's all it's about. And the media puts the fear in people. They put the fear in people by reporting one-sided news all the time. They don't go to the people that are victims, incarcerated, and they don't go to the victims that are still alive to talk about these things. They report news that is going on all over the world, so half the time we're listening to news we think is happening in our backyard when it's happening in another planet. So yes, Andy, we need we the people. We need people like you. We need people out there in society that's not going to judge without knowing the truth about anything. And we need to see these people that apply for gun licenses. I had a license to carry because I was a social worker years ago. I let my permit expire. I don't ever want to see a weapon again. But they need to do these psychological evaluations, not only when people apply for weapons, but also in law enforcement. They need to do the psychological evaluations and random checks on these correctional officers, on these prison officials, on these people that are supposed to be overseeing those that are criminals, when they themselves are criminals.
Well, one of the things, Ms. Leona, and I do got to get up off of here, is we're going to reduce mass incarceration by 25% before I'm even elected. That, like, we're going to do it.
We have a
before
caller.
I'm even elected, we'll be able to.
We have a caller, 912. Do you, oops, I've got them on mute. Hold on a second. 912, do you want to state your name, please? Okay, is that Brother Andre?
Yes, ma'am. How y'all doing?
Okay. You have something you want to say?
Good. I just wanted to come in and ask Brother Andy, because I know this is a, you know, a very noble brother who has been on the front lines of the struggle in many capacities. And, you know, I wanted to just ask the brother personally, for those of us that not only want to vote for you, but win, lose, or draw, want to be or remain committed to whatever it is you're involved in because of the seriousness in which you keep your ear to the street, meaning keeping your ear to the hearts of the street people, those who are raised up in poverty-stricken America. You know, like, what are some of the main things that you would advise us to do in order to support you? You know, I have a elder who is my mentor, and he often tells me, he says, good, Brother Hess, it's good for y'all to vote for your different positions of responsibility, because if 100 of y'all vote and 25 of y'all vote for a particular individual who ends up winning, then that person that votes and every other 24 of them that voted for that man now have a vested interest in ensuring that not only he's held accountable for doing what he say he's going to do, but even more so in helping him to push things in the direction that he's been talking about doing. You know, like, who puts everything on one person's shoulder and say, hey, we voted for you, all right, here you go. Now, John, jump on out there and swim with the sharks. And before you know it, you got people trying to come in and buy you, or trying to manipulate you, or, you know, gang up on you with their own political forces. Like, and so, brother, I just wanted to ask you, brother, what do you feel that those of us who support you now, you know, and for the long haul, you know, what do you suggest that we do that would be most beneficial now and in the long haul in supporting?
So that's a good question. And one of the things, and I'm going to give it back to you, Brother Hess, is you got Pop's Movement. And earlier Ms. Leone was talking about how the media promotes all this negative information that's not accurate. So the way it helps me is I'm going to help Pop's Movement become the new media in that area where it's at. So, you know, whenever Pop's Movement come out, you know, Brother Andy, he ran for president, Pop's Movement, and them supported him. And now Pop's Movement is the channel that you're going to get updates from Andy, because he's going to be on the show, or somebody from his administration going to be on our show every time we have a show, once a week, once a month, whatever. So the only way you're going to hear him is through there, because he don't talk to the rest of them that give out that fake news. He only talks to us, the hood news. So now everybody got to come listen to that, and that'll empower you. And then what we'll teach you is how to model that Black Wall Street where the dollar circulated in the community 15 times. See, all we got to do is learn that, the blueprint. And once we learn the blueprint, we implement it. So I'm always going to bring it back to the people and say, here, let me teach you what you don't know. Because you have a strength over here that may be my weakness. I have a strength over here that may be your weakness. So what if we put both our strengths together? We'll never know that either one of us got a weakness, because we both showing up to do what we do naturally. And that's what we doing. That's what I'm saying. We are the People Party is saying, we taking everybody that's fed up. We taking everybody that says we want this legislation passed, because we're not passing legislation. We're repealing all of that. You can't pass legislation that infringes upon my rights. That's unconstitutional. And it's hundreds of thousands of decisions that have been held unconstitutional. We're just not challenging it because it's been the voiceless. It's been the impoverished. It's been the ones that didn't know their rights and they couldn't afford to get a Johnny Cochran. Well, Johnny Cochran worked with everybody, so I ain't even throwing him under the bus. So So that's, and again, the ACLU, but the ACLU is only so big. So what if we worked with the ACLU on all the work they've already done? That's how I got a lot of the stuff I learned was through the paperwork they did, the paperwork the NAACP did, the paperwork the Southern Poverty Law Center did, the decisions, the court opinions. I go in there and get them, and then I utilize them. That's my law school education. I learned, I wrote it, and did. And now I'm bringing that back to the hood, teaching the hood. Now I'm coming back showing the people, look, they don't got jurisdiction over y'all. No, Brother Hess done did his time. Restorative justice, he come home. Now, Brother Hess, we work together. Now, Brother Hess say, well, I know some brothers in there that this will work for. You don't say Andy go do it. Brother Hess go do it. And now, Brother Hess, so it's each one teach one. And that's how we become a reckoning power of people beyond boundaries. We each one got to teach one. It can't just be one. And so I appreciate what you're saying, and I'm saying back to go clear back up is we empower your movement. I endorse your movement because your movement is behind me. So I'm going to reciprocate that, say, boom. Now the people y'all got this, go down there with Brother Hess. This is what he got. He wrote this piece. Y'all need to check that out. Here's what it is. Now he got his own POTS movement newsletter, POTS movement paper. And that's how we bring that economic empowerment. That's the fifth thing on our platform about economic empowerment, economic development. We could do that. And, you know, you look at what Marcus Garvey did with the North Star. He didn't have a two-thirds of the resources we had, but that paper was global, made it. What are we not doing? And that's following the blueprint of that generation that had less than we had and did more. And we got to go back to KISS, that keep it simple, stupid. It's the simple way, because we done got too overcomplicated. And we got to come together, which we're already together. We just don't know what to do. We got to learn how to abolish modern-day slavery. And the way we do it is through our education. And I mean not the education system, educating people, each one teach one, and we're going to knock it out the box because we the generation to do it. I wish I could say this is not going to work unless I do it. It's not true. This is our time. If you read the scriptures, what I am talking about is prophetic. This is coming to pass. No matter what happens to Andy, it's not the vote that matters. The vote is how we go fishing. That's the vote. That's to go fishing because not enough of us are conscious of our rights. So once we learn about our rights, we realize that government is limited. Has been infringing upon our rights. So Brother Andy's the one that's sharing the good news. No, we were born free. They just put us into bondage. And now we the people are fed up and we rising up because now the scales are falling from our eyes like it did Saul before he became Paul. See, when them scales fall from your eyes, now you get to see. You're like, whoa, we've been spiritually blind this whole time. Yes. We done woke up. They done woke up that sleeping giant. And he can't go back to sleep. It's impossible. Because too many of us is woke out here. And that's what we shifting our focus to. We ain't trying to wake up the doggone sleeping lions. We rolling with the ones that are woke. We ain't got time right now. We'll come back for y'all like Frederick Douglass, Sergeant the Two, Harriet Tubman. We'll come back. But right now we got to get those that are already woke. And we got to go. We got to go. We got to take care of this business.
That's real. That's real. You know, brother, I commend you because a lot of people, they look for ways to be able to perfect their image. And they do so based on how society will give them likes or views or kudos. But it's like the real front line, and you know, another brother that I definitely admire as well as yourself that's running for president is Brother Cornel West. And Dr. Cornel West, he got this book called Hope on a Tightrope. Came out probably about 15 years ago or more. But in the middle of that book, Hope on a Tightrope, he wrote, you can't lead the people unless you first love the people. You can't save our poverty-stricken people unless you're willing to serve. And so it's through love and through service that we lead the people out and that we save the people from their own destructive patterns and means of self-annihilation based on the socioeconomic condition that's been set up for their failure. And so, brother, I just want to continue to commend you, man, because, you know, you're doing a job that most people run from. And you know you're going to get criticized. You know you're going to get browbeaten. You know you're going to get this, you're going to get that. But you know, you remind me of that eagle that takes on the strength of the wind and go directly into the storm where it allows the wind to empower it to rise above those thunders and those lightnings. And you just see you soaring there until the storm passes over and you come on back to where you're supposed to be at, and you do the things that you know are prioritized, man. And that's why I got major respect for you. And shout out to Brother Kwame Shakur, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to all of our family members, you know what I'm saying, throughout the Chicago, Illinois area, the St. Louis, you know what I'm saying, Atlanta, Georgia, our family members out there in Los Angeles, you know, the Chukos Justice Center. Shout out to our brother, beloved brother up in New York. You know what I'm saying? We got a good brother up there, Tony Nix, man. He got Enough is Enough, Let's Save Our Children. And just thinking about it on this Halloween evening, man, brother, y'all are really on the front lines and y'all doing this thing all over the nation, man. Don't stop, man. Anything that we can do, man, let us know how we can support, okay?
Speaking of children, Kimberly Materian is going to be on the show tomorrow. She is the founder of Save Our Sons, and she's going to be talking about some of these things too, and also a program called MAP. So she's going to be on tomorrow at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, so that would be another one if anyone wants to call in there. But I agree with you, Brother Hess. I admire Andy Williams for what he's doing, because a lot of people don't have the guts, and I'm going to say it just like that, they don't have the guts to do it. We have hypocritical people in this country, people that do a lot of talk and no action, and that's why we're still in a country that's getting more dysfunctional by the days. So, Andy, do you want to give the audience your information, how they can get in contact with you if they want to contribute, where they can contribute to you, and volunteers, if you need volunteers, whatever the case may be, please let them know.
Yes, if you go to www.awj2024.com, there's a donation box there, the email address is there, and then the mailing address is there. So that allows anybody to write. For those that are behind the wall that here, the address is Williams for President, 5707 South Cass Avenue, number 681, Westmont, Westmont, Illinois, IL, 60559. Send a brother a kite. I can't promise I'm going to hit everybody back with a written letter, but I guarantee you'll be on the list that everybody gets a postcard and a newsletter when they start coming out in January 2024. So, you know, we're doing a monthly newsletter with our campaign to keep those behind the wall informed about their rights, prisoners' rights too, because I'm the ambassador for the state of Illinois Prison Lives Matter chapter. So I'm doing the work now. You know what I'm saying? We got the organization that does that, and that there's a campaign with that says, let my people go. It's in, based on Exodus, when the Israelites were leaving bondage, escaping Egypt, leaving bondage. And that's where we're at today. We're leaving that bondage and setting the captives free. So y'all brothers and sisters behind that wall, hit me up. We got a business that we do, helping people with writs and habeas. So, you know, again, you don't got to vote for me to give you no aid and assist right now, because this is who I am every day, all day. This is who I am. I love the people.
And that's what we need. We need people that are real. People that are real, not phony, not fake, not the blind, not the ignorant, not the wealthy, not the boasting ones, but people. So I want to thank you for that again, Andy. And Andy Williams Jr. will be on again next Tuesday, same time at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. He will be on every Tuesday at that time. And Brother Hess will be on at some point in time. Right now, we haven't actually scheduled a specific day and time, but I would love to have him back on as well. So, Andy, thank you so much for coming on. And, again, I want to thank you for all that you're doing, because what you're doing is taking a big step, and I know that you are being led by the Most High. So we thank you. We thank God for everything that he is doing for all of us. Regardless of how little or how big, it's always a big thing when we have the Most High on our side. So, Brother Hess, do you have any last-minute words you'd like to say? Okay. So we are now going to end this episode. I thank you all again. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Kimberly Mukhtarian will be on with us, founder of Save Our Sons, SOS. Thank you all for listening in, and we are now ending this episode.
Awesome show.
Thank you.